Strategist with Guest Match and Allen Media Strategies here in Washington, D.C. Our Director of Client Services, Aaron Leisner, joins us today, and we're going to talk with a very interesting guest who can give you some insight on how to generate publicity and public awareness using the media, and free media specifically. Our guest today is our old friend, Dreema Denver. Now, for almost 30 years, Dreema was married to a TV icon that many of us grew up with, Bob Denver. You may remember him if you were a TV watcher in the 50s and early 60s as Maynard J. Krebs on The Many Lives of Dobie Gillis. For most of us, though, we remember Bob primarily as Gilligan on the iconic TV show Gilligan's Island. Now, Dreema and Bob had a very long storied marriage. Dreema, an actress as well, who co-starred with Bob. And in 2005, Bob passed away. Dreema has carried on the Bob Denver legacy through her work with the Denver Foundation to benefit special needs kids, and also through Little Buddy Radio, which she and Bob founded before Bob's passing. Dreema Denver, thanks for being on the call today.
I am so happy to be here, Burke.
Well, you make us smile, and your husband made us all smile for many, many years. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but many of us grew up watching Gilligan's Island, so Bob was always a presence in our lives. Before we get into the hardcore media stuff, I have to ask you, what was Bob's overall demeanor and his feeling about his fans, especially kids, whenever they met him?
You know, Bob, one thing I loved many, many things about him, but one of the things I loved most was the way he interacted with his fans. You know, he understood, and I think this is really impressive, he understood that when somebody came to meet him, it was a huge, big deal for them, whether they came across the street or flew across the country. So he always, he told me once, he always made a point in giving whoever the person was, whether it was a book signing or a personal appearance where he would, you know, they'd line up for autographs, he gave them special moments. He would take the time to look them in the eye, ask them a question, answer their questions. You know, I've seen so many celebrities who just, they never look up. You know, they just sign and hand it to you, sign and hand it to you. Bob never did it that way. He was always one who took time, always took time with his fans and really appreciated, truly appreciated the fans who kept the show, you know, gave it such longevity. 46 years this year, by the way, that show has been on the air. That's
wow,
pretty
and it's
unbelievable.
It's been nonstop, uninterrupted, too. It's continued on in syndication somewhere in the world every day a Gilligan's Island episode is on.
Absolutely. There was a time, you know, it was really heavy back in the 70s and early 80s, and there was a time when actually, I know we worked in North Carolina once, and it was on six times a day in a three-hour period. It was against itself many times. So, yeah, the show has just rerun, you know, unbelievably, but it's because it's timeless. You know, when you look at Gilligan's Island, you can't place it, except for a couple of episodes here and there, you can't place it in any particular time. Do you know what I mean? There are no cars. There are no telephones. There's nothing to date it. So, you know, it stays kind of fresh. You know, it always looks brand spanking new, no matter.
If you're just tuning into the call today, I'm Burke Allen with Guest Match, and Dreema Denver is our guest, the wife of legendary TV actor Bob Denver, star of Gilligan's Island, and someone on the call today will win an autographed copy of Bob's autobiography, Gilligan, Maynard, and Me, that Dreema will personally sign for you. And if you're interested in that, then just send a note to support@guestmatch.com, support@guestmatch.com, and in the subject line, put Gilligan Giveaway. That's Gilligan Giveaway. Now, since Bob's passing in 2005, Dreema, a lot has fallen onto your shoulders. You run Little Buddy Radio, which is the nonprofit radio station, and also the Denver Foundation. And that's
right,
where you and I began working together. The Denver Foundation, the sole purpose of the foundation, I guess, is to help special needs kids. And that's because you and Bob are the parents of a special needs child.
That's right. We have a severely autistic son, which nowadays is getting to be kind of commonplace. You know, autism is at epidemic levels, so there are a lot of families dealing with this. And, you know, people think if you're a celebrity that you're sort of immune from all of life's problems. They also think that if you do have a problem, you have plenty of money, you know, to take care of the problem, hire people to take care of the problem. And the truth of the matter is the people from the early days of television got no residuals. People listening might be surprised to find out Bob never made a penny on Gilligan's Island. So when we had a severely autistic son, we found ourselves in the same position many, many people are in around the country. And that is, you know, he had to have care. He had to have full-time care. And we weren't sitting on mountains of money able to do that. So Bob and I actually, for the last 21 years of Bob's life, we took care of Colin, our son, to the exclusion of everything else. And that, you know, I think that speaks to the person and the man that he was, a man that would, he really set aside everything career-wise in order to be with Colin and me and to take care of his son. So, yeah, the Denver Foundation, we actually founded it to help special needs families with whatever their needs might be. You know, if you have if what you need in your life with a special needs person is a washer and dryer and you can't afford to get one, then that's a very big deal. That's a huge need in your life. So the Denver Foundation tries to supply those kinds of needs to families.
And Dreema, by the way, is a member of Guest Match. And if you'd like to be a member just like Dreema, we have a $1 trial membership sign-up that you can do on the Guest Match website. Just look in the bottom corner there for the Become a Guest button on the GuestMatch.com website. And we also have some other giveaways and prizes that we'll give away during the call today. If you have a question for Dreema Denver or a question for me about how to generate free media and PR, as Dreema has done working with us for the Denver Foundation, just let us know. Raise your hand. And, Aaron, we have some questions already.
We do have a couple of questions. The first question is from Pamela Zeman in Seattle. She says, I've written a book called Giving Voice to Your Cause, Speaking Tips for Nonprofit Professionals. It applies to anyone on a mission. She wants to know if she should keep it tight with the nonprofits or extend out to anyone wanting to make a difference.
Well, and Dreema, certainly you can chime in. I would think that in terms of the book, and Dreema actually has just wrapped up her own autobiography, Gilligan's Dreams, the way to reach as many people as possible is to make that book as mass appeal as possible. And then it can touch, you know, both the nonprofit folks and the folks who may have never considered giving until that story in that book touches them in a real personal way. And Dreema, I know that having read Bob's book and your book as well, that before Colin was born, you didn't have autism on your radar. And so, you know, it's all about exposing those things to as many people as possible. Would you agree?
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. You know, I think most things in life we don't really focus in on until it becomes part of our life. And that certainly was true of autism in our case. When we had a baby, we thought, you know, we'd be like most other families and we'd have a baby with 10 fingers and 10 toes. I remember counting all those things and he seemed to be perfectly fine. But as you know, time went on, probably by the time he was two, we realized we had a problem. So yeah, autism became big on our radar at that time. Brain injury sort of in general became big on our radar during that time. So yeah, I think you want to reach as many people as you can with something
like
that.
All right, very
good. Absolutely.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we got two more. One from Marilee Kinsey in Malvern, Arkansas. She asks, in what order should one develop their online presence, media, and businesses, especially in regards to copyrights, trademarks, logos, that type of stuff? And is there a legal recommendation for when and how to experience the flow before committing to all the paperwork and expense?
Well, I would certainly begin by qualifying to say I'm not a lawyer, and I've never played one on TV, and I'm not sure if Bob Denver ever played a lawyer on TV.
He played a doctor once, but not a lawyer, I don't think.
and perhaps personally you guys played doctor together. I don't know, and that's for another call. But I will say that in terms of the order of priority when you put together your media presence, it's great to have something online that media folks can access right away. And so we certainly advise you to get information up on, you know, your own website and a site like guestmatch.com, where the media can get to you. Think of it as an online press kit, an online media kit. In terms of logo development, that's more of a retail thing as opposed to something that television or newspaper or radio will need from you as a guest. That's more of in the advertising realm. But as far as the legal stuff, I best stay away from that. And the third question?
Our next question comes from across the pond. It's Helena in Stockholm, Sweden. How do you handle negative hosts, the ones who are out to get you for whatever reason, to make an exciting bit or story for their article or show, et cetera? If you refuse to answer, they make a thing out of that too. So how do you handle that?
Now, Dreama, this is one that I'll volley to you because, you know, Bob, I remember very distinctly hearing him on the Howard Stern show and seeing him do Howard Stern TV. And then just, I guess it was last week, you did the piece through guest match for the National Enquirer. So negative hosts, what are your tips?
Oh, wow. You know, it's scary. I don't care how you cut it. It's really scary when you – I remember doing the Mike O'Meara show. What was that, last summer, I think, Burke?
Yes,
and
that's right.
I was literally, I'm going to be honest here and say I was literally in tears before the interview started. They didn't know it, but I tuned in for the top of the show, you know, to hear them talk about the guests they had coming up, which in that case was me. And they were being, you know, really, really rude. You know, that's sort of their thing, the shock jocks. And so I, if you remember, you gave me a pep talk telling me I could do it. And I was like, okay. You know, what I found, and I think what you'll agree I did during that interview, was I brought them up to my level. You told me, you know, when they said they were going to, I'm just going to say this, they said they were going to ask me what Bob Denver was like in bed. And I called you and said, I can't answer these questions. And you told me, you know, when they ask you something like that, then you talk about how romantic he was or what a, you know, so that's what I did. I actually, when they asked me things that I was, kind of taken aback by, I would try to take the ladylike approach and spin it in a different direction. I think you'll agree, we brought them up to my level, didn't we?
I think you did a fantastic job there. And the key Dreama, is that you had some training and you sort of knew which way to go there.
Bob was an excellent, he was really an excellent teacher, and I got to watch him do interviews and did some with him, certainly. Over the almost 30 years that we were together. And Bob was just the best at what I call tap dancing. That's what he called it, was when they asked something he didn't really want to answer. He was so good at sort of tap dancing around it and getting them to go on another track with it, you know. So I kind of learned from him. And then I do think if you don't allow yourself to be terrified by it, which I was the first time. Now, by the time I did The Enquirer, which was last week, you know, I'm much more settled in now and much more, I think anyway, much more ready for whatever they might throw at me. And you know, sometimes you can kind of turn it back on the interviewer if they're asking you something that you're not really keen on answering. You can sort of ask them the question, ask it back. They don't like that. It's not in a bad way. They don't get angry or anything, but I think it sort of lets them know what it might feel like to be on the receiving end of whatever that question is, you know.
That's excellent. Sure, you do the redirect, which is something that we teach our guest match and Allen Media Strategies clients. You redirect that interview and you lead the interview as much as possible. That's great advice. Thanks, Dreama.
Sure.
If you're just chiming in on the call today, Dreama Denver is our guest today. She is a guest match member. You can become a guest match member, too. There's a $1 trial membership, and if you'd like to check it out, go to guestmatch.com, and we would love to have you as a guest match member. Someone on this call today will win an autographed copy of Gilligan, Maynard, and me, Dreama Denver. We'll sign it personally for you. And also, for each teleclass attendee today, we have a free 15-minute radio interview and podcast for you by visiting publicityseminar.com. So we're giving you an awful lot of free stuff just for chiming in today. Now, Dreama, there are different revenue streams that you use to benefit the Denver Foundation. And you'd mentioned earlier in the call that everyone assumes that, you know, is the wife of a TV icon, for crying out loud, Gilligan from Gilligan's Island. People just assume that you guys are loaded and that, you know, you'll never have to worry again about money. But in fact, the case was that Bob made his day pay for that TV show it was 3 years, I guess, Gilligan's Island was on, and that was it, right?
It was 99 episodes, which back in those days, you know, they did 33 episodes a season as opposed to like 22, 24 now. So they got 5 years, reruns worth of shows in a three-year period. And, yeah, he was paid for, you know, back in the old days, some of you guys might remember that, you know, television, you ran the fall season, and then when the fall season was over, it repeated in the spring. And so he was paid for those two runs of each season of Gilligan's Island. And I think the most he ever made on Gilligan's Island was like $1,500 a week. And he made, like, get this, he made, like, $250 for Maynard. Can you believe that?
Wow.
When he did The Many Loves of Debbie Gillis, yeah.
And so now, as you carry on with the Denver Foundation, of course, the care of your own family and your own Bob's son, Colin, you look for different revenue streams that you can generate from this free media and PR. So give our listeners some ideas of ways that you've monetized these interviews that you do.
Well, you know, on the website, bobdenver.com, we have Gilligan's Gift Gallery there, and I sell Bob's book there, Gilligan hats, for a while, I don't know if I still have coconuts, anything kind of mugs, you know, Gilligan mugs, Gilligan t-shirts. That's one way of making revenue. Then, happily, since I've been with you, it seems that I'm going to be making speeches around the country now, maybe being on the speaking circuit. I'm going to be doing my first one in November, so that certainly is another way to generate some income, or at least something for the foundation, which I think is obviously my primary goal and a really wonderful thing. And then, of course, I've written the book that I hope is going to be published soon and certainly generate some income.
So those are three
of the things I can think of.
Well, you mentioned the book that you have written, and one of the things that's interesting that I'd like to share with our listeners is that in pursuit of the publishing deal for Dreema's book, we were able to share with the publishers, you know, all of this media exposure that she's been able to achieve, which has really caught the eye of one publisher in particular, and, you know, the ink is not yet dry on the contract, but they were very interested in publishing the book, knowing that Dreema has done all this media, is capable of doing all these interviews, and also is doing some public speaking. So there are a bunch of different ways to generate revenue. And you mentioned, you know, the tchotchkes, the mugs and the t-shirts, all that is possible. Other information marketing products for speakers, specifically audio of your speeches, video, DVDs, when you go out to speak, all of those things are additional revenue sources. And Aaron, more questions from our listeners?
I just wanted to remind everybody out there listening live that if you have a question for Dreema or for Burke, you can go ahead and press *2 and that'll raise your virtual hand so you can come on and ask your question yourself.
All right, so that's *2 if you'd like to ask a question. Dreema, the PR that leads to the paid speaking engagements and you know, this potential book publishing deal and all that, were you in the beginning reluctant to go out and do interviews? And since then, has it been a good thing for you? Do you enjoy it, or is it a chore to sort of help put food on the table?
Well, now you know that I was reluctant because you were there with me at the beginning. You know, I did them for years with Bob. I mean, we did People Magazine and The Enquirer together and Entertainment Tonight and all these things. So I had done those with him, but I'd never flown solo on it. And you know that I was nervous about doing that because I didn't know how hard it might be to talk about him and how, you know, I was coming through the grieving process at that time. This is, 3 years ago, I guess. And so, yeah, I was a little bit reluctant. At the same time, I wanted to do it. It was kind of a double-edged sword there. I kind of wanted to do it, and yet I was afraid to do it. But when I did start doing it, you know, I'm chatty, so you know that I really do love doing interviews. For me, to be able to talk about Bob is a very healing thing. I think all the interviews that I did, to hear the if there's a call-in show where people can call in and talk about how much they loved, you know, Bob and how much they loved the show and what it meant to them, and to hear the interviewers, if there is no call-in, just talk to me about, you know, what the show meant to them and what it means to people that they know, was a very, very healing thing for me. I could still feel all the love for Bob and all the love for Gilligan's Island. And I'm able also in the interviews to sort of talk about him as a man as opposed to Gilligan and Maynard, which most everybody knows him for because Bob was very, very, very private. And I found it very healing, and I love doing it. And now you can hardly stop me, can you? Like, you ever offer me one that I actually turned down? I don't think so. You know, it's a great thing. And you know the great thing about it, another great thing about it, is that you can do it from the privacy of your own home. You know, I do phoners. My dogs are going to bark. I do phoners which means I don't have to leave my house. You know, I can just pick up the phone or answer the phone and do the interviews that way. And that goes for print as well as live on radio and television. I did some live, do you remember last year, I think it was, I did some live TV in, it was radio, I'm sorry, in Australia. Do you remember that?
That's correct. And you make a great point that you know, if you're listening and you think, geez, I don't want to have to get all made up or hop on an airplane and go to Los Angeles or New York to get this free media exposure. With today's technology, many of our Guest Match and Allen Media Strategies clients do it all from home. 90% of the media coverage you'll get is by picking up the telephone and doing a live interview with someone, whether it be a reporter from a radio or a newspaper. Some of our clients in just the last few weeks have done national television interviews by using Skype technology and have appeared on CNN and MSNBC from home. And if you do that, by the way, you can stage the area behind you to put your book jacket up, or if you're a public speaker, to put something up with your URL behind you so that gets the national TV exposure. So it's a lot easier to do the media interviews, I guess, than when Bob was doing those himself.
Yeah, when Bob was, you know, they had press junkets back in the day when he was doing Gilligan's Island. And he would work all week, probably, you know, 12-hour days, and then he'd have to hop on a plane or a train. He told me they did it by train sometimes back in those days, and be gone for the entire weekend. You know, hop on it Friday night, get back Sunday night, have to be on the set the next morning at 6 o'clock. So, yeah, it wasn't nearly as easy and convenient as it is now. And, you know, I also just recently did an online interview, and those are really interesting because they actually – whoever the interviewer is, you don't talk to them. They send you the questions through email, and you actually answer. I kind of like this because, you know, you write out your answer, and it's the way you want it to appear. So I really kind of like that. But they send it to you through email, you know, and you answer the questions, and you send it back, and then it ends up online somewhere. So, you know, with technology being what it is today, you really can do it all from home, almost all of it, you know, and that makes it really nice because the ladies out there will know there's a certain point where you just go, oh, I don't want to have to get all that together. I don't want to have to put the face on and go do the whole thing in order to, you know, be able to get the word out. So it's very convenient now. I love it.
Dream of Denver is our guest today. You can pick up the new issue of the National Enquirer in supermarkets everywhere and newsstands, the one with John Travolta without a shirt on the cover. And inside, you will find Dream of Denver with her shirt on, talking about Gilligan and Gilligan's Island and the new Gilligan's Island movie that's coming up. And by the way, you're certainly welcome to ask questions by hitting *2 about PR, about marketing. And if you're a Gilligan's Island fan, we'll make sure that you've got time to ask Gilligan questions or any questions that you want to ask about Bob Denver as well. And remember, if you'd like an autographed copy of Gilligan, Maynard, and Me, we're giving away one to a lucky listener today. Dreama will personally autograph it for you. Just send us an email to support@guestmatch.com and put Gilligan giveaway in the subject line. Things that you feel you absolutely have to have before doing media interviews.
Well, media coaching is one. I think that would be the number one thing. You know, I feel like I had a good coach, certainly in Bob. For a lot of years, I got to watch him. You know, he was just so good at all of that. I suppose anybody who's been, you know, famous his entire adult life from the time he was 23 up, you know, would have some kind of expertise in that area. So I felt like I had a really good teacher in him. But, you know, I've said to you before that I consider you and Allen Media Strategies and Guest Match an angel in my life, because where Bob sort of left off, you kind of took over. And I feel like you have been and you have been my coach for the last 3 years, and you've never, never led me wrong. You are the hardest working man in media. I'm telling you.
Well, thank you.
No,
well,
you
thank
are.
You. And you'd asked, you mentioned Bob and watching Bob do these down through the years and you guys doing them together. You know, there's really nothing like the experience of being on the set of Entertainment Tonight or your local television station to get the feel for what that's all about. It's one thing to say, oh, yes, I can do this TV interview. And then when you actually show up there and the lights come on and you have to look in the camera and you're mic'd up, it's a whole different story,
huh? The red light on the camera. Whoa. Suddenly, you know, there's a light on you. And, yeah, that's a whole different ball game, you know. And I don't care how – plus, you have to be I was an actress, so it's one thing to act. You know, you memorize lines and you play a part and you get to hide behind something. When you're doing media, whether it's something like we're doing right now or phone or interviews or at your local TV station or Entertainment Tonight, you have to be you. You know, you have to – there's nothing to hide behind. You have to present yourself and present yourself well and hopefully be entertaining and funny and interesting. And, you know, there's – you can't really say enough about having media coaching to help you know how to do that and do it properly. I think there's certainly a certain amount of it that's innate, that's in you. Either you – you know, but it can never hurt to have somebody coach you on the right things to do and the right way to do it, you know.
And along those lines, Dream, I do want to point out to our listeners today that we are giving away to listeners of this call a free 15-minute radio interview and a podcast by visiting publicityseminar.com, publicityseminar.com. You fill in the little box there with your name and your email address, and we'll do that interview with you, supply you the podcast, and give you some coaching pointers as well. And if you're really serious about this, we do have a media training event coming up in October here in Washington, D.C. Brian Kaplowitz from Speaker Match is a former attendee, and that is October 22nd through the 24th. All the listeners on this call are eligible for a $500 tuition discount as well. And all the details are on the publicityseminar.com website in terms of media coaching. But so what else? Along with media coaching, what are the other, let's say if there are three things, what are the other two things that you think are really crucial to have in place before you start to go after this free media?
Well, first, you have to know, you know, what it is you want to talk about, what the big points are that you want to get across. In my case, I do a lot of talking about Bob, obviously, and that's pretty easy. I can do his personal appearances for him because I heard all the answers. But it's, you know, you have to know what it is you want to talk about. You have to find a way to make that, like I said before, interesting and entertaining to the listener. You know,
and let's key in on that for just a second, because it sounds obvious to say, oh, you need to know what you're going to talk about. But in fact, it can vary depending on the media outlet. And I've done dozens and dozens of interviews with folks who didn't have that clarity of message to know exactly what points they were trying to get across in the interview. And it wound up being a bad experience. It was wasted time on their part because no one really understood the point of the interview, where it was going, what they were trying to accomplish. If they were trying to drive people, for example, to a website to sign up for something, or they were trying to drive retail traffic into a bookstore or drive traffic to a speech or a seminar, if you don't have that clarity of message and if it's not crystal clear before you hit the air, then you can run into all kinds of problems. Our political folks, we're based here in Washington, D.C., our political folks get a lot of media coaching and training on this, on how to redirect the conversation back to their talking points and make sure that they stay on message.
The redirecting that we were talking about before, because, you know, often I think interviewers, you know, depending on, you know, what their purpose is, if they're shock jocks, they're trying to trip you up or they're trying to find something sensational. And you know, if you know what it is you want to talk about and you know the finer points of what you're trying to get across, then you can sort of sidestep those potholes when they're, or you can, like you said, redirect it back to what it is you're wanting to talk about, you know, rather than sort of fall into whatever it is they're trying to throw at you, you know. And that's true of interviewers anyway will sometimes, even the ones who are not shock jocks, will sometimes get off point, you know, and take it somewhere else. And that's great. You can go with them for a while, but you have to know what it is, what your primary goal is and what you want to get across to be able to get it back to what that particular thing is that you want to make sure is coming across to the listening audience.
And frankly, Dreama, I think you'll agree, that's a lot easier now than it was even 10 years ago because of the Internet. You can do a lot of research before you ever do this interview to find out who the interviewer is. In many cases, you can find some audio or video of them online and get a feel for their style and understand sort of where that interview is going. For example, if you do an interview with a guy talk radio station or a sports radio station, it may be a little more locker roomy. It may be a little more PG-13, as opposed to if you were to do an interview with a conservative Christian television network. So you have the same core message, but you can certainly dress it up slightly differently, put a little extra something in there to appeal to that media outlet's core audience.
I always do that. I actually, when you guys set up interviews for me, I always go online and try to find out whatever I can about the person that's going to be interviewing me. Another thing that we haven't touched on that I think is also true, you know, when you're doing a 3.5-minute interview, let's say, I remember the ones in Australia, it was their morning show, and these were really short, maybe 5-minute interviews, as opposed to a half-an-hour interview, that changes how you're going to answer questions. You know, when you're trying to get whatever you're trying to get across, when you're trying to do that in a 5-minute period, that goes by really quickly, and you have to make sure that you have those points clear in your head that you want to get across, because you have to do it in a real short span of time. You know, when you're doing a half an hour, you can take some time. I've even done hour ones. I can remember one hour interview show that with somebody up in Canada that I did maybe 6 months ago that actually stretched into 2 hours. This man talked to me for 2 hours. And I love the long ones because you really can just talk. You know, you can just really get into everything and really enjoy it. But, man, when you have to condense it down into like 3.5-5 minutes, that's a whole different ball game, and you need to know exactly, you know, what it is you're wanting to get across to be able to do it quickly like that.
And many of the biggest interview opportunities out there for you to generate free media exposure for your speaking gig or your book or whatever it is you're trying to promote, in Dreama's case, the foundation, many of the ones with sizable audience, the most sizable audience, are the shorter media interviews. The Today Show, for example, or Good Morning America, any of the morning TV shows, those are 3-minute interviews on average. And so you really have to have your talking points down. For folks that haven't done a lot of these, I recommend on the radio interviews and the print interviews, Dreama, that they jot down a couple of bullet points either on a piece of paper or an index card and put it in front of them or on their computer. Do you ever do that in terms of the Denver Foundation? Do you ever have bullet points there so that you'll remember exactly what you want to get across?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, especially in the beginning, I did that because I felt like I was on a learning curve, you know, and just getting my feet wet doing it. Now I can do it much more easily, and I know when it's going to be 3.5 minutes as opposed to half an hour. I know what I have to do and how I have to do it. So, but yeah, I have been known to do bullet points. It's the doing of it, you know. Like if you were getting media training, the doing of it takes some of the fear factor away from it, you know, because once you, it's like when you're acting, you know, it's one thing to, you know, sitting and doing a read through of the script, but once you put it on its feet, it's a whole different thing, you know, to actually stand up and start doing your blocking and start playing the character and all that. So it's kind of that same thing, you know, where you're tailoring whatever it is you have to say to the time allotted to you in any given interview. And it's different no matter, you know, whatever the time span is, it makes it different.
Okay, so the three things that you absolutely must have before you begin doing media interviews, the first one you talked about is media coaching. And you were fortunate to be married for almost 30 years to a guy who had done every conceivable media outlet, and then you've worked with us for the last few years to help shore up your skills. So media coaching you feel is very important. Having a clarity of message and knowing what you want to say is very important. And what would you say is the third thing that you absolutely have to have before you do interviews?
Well, we touched on this before. I think, you know, to be interesting, to find a way, whatever it is, whatever message it is that you want to get across, to find an interesting way to do that. It's great if you can be funny or charming or whatever, but you have to be entertaining in some sense. You know, you have to be able to get it across in a way that make people want to listen to it. You know, and Brooke, another thing, I was thinking this a minute ago, and you tell me if you find this to be true, because I certainly find it to be true, being the interviewee, is that I find that print is very different from live, like on air, whether it's on the radio or television. Print is a very different medium, don't you think?
Absolutely. And quite often, they quote you in a whole different way in print than you would intend.
Right, like the Inquirer interview that I just did. That was over the phone. We did the interview over the phone, so I didn't have to leave the house. But, you know, he's going to take my words that I say, and he's going to print them however he wants to print them. And he's going to you know, bookend them however he wants to bookend what I said. And you know, you always hear about people taking things out of context. Well, you know, that can happen, and they can take something and say it exactly the way you said it, your words precisely, and yet the way they present it in the article will make it sound different or look different. Sometimes I'll look at it and go, did I say that? And I'll go, yeah, I did say that, but it's not exactly the way I said it, you know? I personally, you know, and this is another area where media coaching, I think, would come in so handy, because I personally like, you know, the live owner radio interviews, because whatever I want to say is coming across the way I want to say it, and hopefully I get it across the way I want it to be, you know? When you do print, it's kind of like you have no control. You can only do what you can do, and you can answer the questions and say what it is you want to say and hope that when they put it in print and repeat you that they do it properly, so it's what you meant it to be, you know? So I find print always a little bit, I'm a little bit more about print interviews than I am live interviews.
A little more.
And I think that's something that media can, you know, media coaching can really help in that area too.
No, I think you're absolutely right. You have to be ready with the quotable line and to have those things, you know, sort of come out like rote memorization. It's like riding a bicycle. You don't even have to think about it anymore because you've answered that question and anticipated that question so many times. So
right.
Dreama Denver is our guest today on the Guest Match conference call. She is a Guest Match member, by the way, and you can be too, for just $1 for a trial membership, just like Dreama is to Guest Match. And if you'd like to be in the hopper for our giveaway of the Bob Denver autobiography, Gilligan, Maynard, and Me, that Dreama will personally autograph for one lucky listener, then send an email to support@guestmatch.com and put Gilligan Giveaway in the subject line. You talked about being entertaining in these interviews. That's the number three thing that you think folks must absolutely have. You were married to an entertainer. You, in fact, were a working actress, an entertainer for a long time. I know you and Bob did a TV pilot together with a young Joey Lawrence. You were on one of the Gilligan's Island movies. How important is that entertainment background to be able to go ahead and incorporate that when you do these media interviews? Or is it something you think that anyone can do? Anyone can be entertaining when they do interviews?
Well, I've heard some interviews that weren't really entertaining in my day, I think.
Fair enough.
I have heard, you know, the very cut and dried, you know, have you heard the ones where, you know, it's like the interviewer is, you know, what it's like when you're on the phone with like a 5-year-old and you're trying to drag something out of them? I've heard interviews like that. I've actually had people interview me who were, I make notes. I keep a book, actually, after I finish an interview. And if there's anything that I feel I should remember about a particular interviewer, in case I'm interviewed by them again, I jot down notes about it. The ones who are just, you know, fluid and it rolls and it's easy and it's relaxed, I like to make notes of those because I love those interviewers. Then you do every once in a while get one who, being an interviewer, you wouldn't think this would be true, but you do get them once in a while who, you know, kind of stumble around and they're not sure. Maybe they didn't do their homework and they're not really prepared or something, but you do get those. And when you get somebody like that, you have to, at least I feel like I have to be able to take the ball and run with it. You know, I have to be able to fill in those silences and all of that. So, you know, I keep notes on them so that I know next time if you guys get in touch with me and say you're going to be, you know, this person, you talked to him a year ago and you're going to be talking to him again, I can go back to my book and see what I thought about them to begin with. I don't know. Do you have anybody else who does that?
Actually a really good idea and something I think we'll pass along to all our clients to keep track of these folks that you do the interviews with and keep notes on them so that you can bring it back up. And certainly if in, you know, interview A in 2009 you find out that they have a son who's going away to college and you bring that up in interview B in 2010, you're immediately going to have a much warmer reception from that host. So I think that's a fantastic idea. I really like, Dreema, the thought that you have there of you know, entertaining whenever you're on with a less seasoned interviewer. And Aaron in our office, our director of client services, and I have worked with some small market radio stations before where the air talent is not nearly as seasoned as maybe the person that they're interviewing. And we view that as a real opportunity for the interviewee where you can really steer the ship at that point. You can be in control of that interview, and quite often the interviewer is happy to let you do it because they can sort of put their feet up on the console and drink the coffee and let you go and entertain the listener. So I think that all makes perfect sense.
When you do that, you also make the interviewer look better. You know what I mean? When you can take the ball and run with it, and, you know, if you are with somebody who isn't as seasoned, and you can take the ball. It's, you know, the same thing. I always compare all these things to acting. You know, when you're on stage, I know when Bob and I were working on stage all over the country, and, you know, other people from locally would be cast in the show with us. Some were better than others. And when you got an actor who was frightened or, you know, just not seasoned, that's a good word, you know, you did everything you could to make that person look better. So it's sort of the same thing, you know, when you have an interviewer who's not as seasoned, then if you can make them look better, then the whole thing looks better because it's all, you know, we're all in it together at that point. And I think it is right. They can put their feet up on the console and say, okay, just go with it because, you know, you've done this a lot of times. You know what you're doing. I'm kind of green at it, and I'll learn from you. And you can really teach them something in the process of doing that too.
If you'd like to ask a question, we have a few minutes left with our guest today, Dreema Denver. Aaron, tell them how they can ask questions.
You can either go ahead and write in online, or if you're just listening live on the phone, go ahead and press *2, which will raise your virtual hand, and you'll be able to ask your question to either Dreema or Burke.
All right, so instant message your question in if you're listening online, or *2 if you're listening on the phone, and we will get into some Gilligan's Island questions before we get out of here because I know there are lots of fans of the show. I do want to remind you, if you're interested in becoming a Guest Match member, there's a $1 trial membership offer, and just go to guestmatch.com and click on Become a Guest. There, if you would like to take advantage of some of this media coaching that Dreema talked about, we are giving away for the listeners on this call today free 15-minute radio interviews and podcasts for our teleclass listeners, and you can take advantage of that at publicityseminar.com. That's publicityseminar.com, and if you're really interested in this media coaching that Dreema talked about, there's a $500 tuition discount available to you at publicityseminar.com when you register in the promo code box. Just type in the word publicity. All right, Gilligan's Island time. The movie that everyone is talking about, this Gilligan's Island movie. You know, you hear Zach Braff maybe playing the Bob Denver's part. You hear, what's the kid's name, Michael Cera? Seth Rogen as the skipper. I know you did this interview in the National Enquirer about the Gilligan's Island movie. Just between you and I and our listeners today, what are you thinking?
You know, the National Enquirer, now I have it from a good source, one of the producers, Lloyd Schwartz. Sherwood Schwartz was the original creator, producer of Gilligan's Island, and his son Lloyd, and he are going to be executive producers on the movie. And after I did the interview with the Enquirer, if anybody read that article, you know, when they called me, they were talking about the dark side of Gilligan's Island, you know, and God, the plot was so dark, I can't tell you. It was going to be all horrible stuff. Gilligan and the skipper were going to be AWOL because they had done something unsavory, and Mr. and Mrs. Howell going to be on this new cruise in the movie to save their marriage because he's had some, you know, shady business dealings, and Marianne was going to run around naked in the whole show saying oops all the time, which I thought was pretty funny. Every time somebody catches her naked, she's supposed to be going oops, you know. So he's telling me all this, and he was telling me all this, and I said, are you sure about this? And he said, well, that's what we're hearing. And what do you think about that? Well, obviously, being kind of a purist when it comes to Gilligan's Island, I know they're going to have to sex it up a little bit for the 21st century and probably dumb it down slightly, but I was judging by the movies that come out now, but I was hoping they would stick to the original feel of the show, you know, that they would try to, you know, maintain some of the innocence and some of what gave the show the longevity that it's had, what the fans love about it, you know. Now, after I did this interview, I had posted something on Facebook, I think, and Lloyd Schwartz came in and posted to me that that the Enquirer has it all wrong. So that's all I know is that the script has not been approved yet. I guess it's in that stage of they're in all the pre-production parts. And he said that none of the casting is set, even though we're hearing about Michael Cera and Seth Rogen and Zach and all those guys. Beyonce, I was hearing about Beyonce for Ginger. According to Lloyd, nothing is set in stone, and everything that we're hearing right now is just rumor. So that's, I guess he's about as reliable a source as one could get at this point, you know?
Yep, it's straight from the producer's mouth. All right.
Yeah, but I'm really hoping that it's not, you know, they're not going to do a whole dark take on Gilligan's Island. I would hate to see that, actually.
You have stayed in touch with the other castaways down through the years, and I know at bobdenver.com there's a great picture of you and Don Wells, who played Mary Ann at a Denver Foundation fundraiser last year. I'm going to throw out the castaway, and I want you to give me the first word that comes to mind, a three-word association.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Oh, geez, okay.
Skipper, Alan Hale, the skipper.
Teddy bear. Big teddy bear. Just the most huggable guy, Oh, that's more than one word, but teddy bear would be my one word. just a lovely, huggy guy. Yeah, good guy.
Marianne, Don Wells.
Oh, friend, just a really, really good friend. The nicest, I have to elaborate. Burke, I can't do one word. Just the nicest woman you would ever want to meet. Caring and loving and so there for me. You know, when she did the fundraiser for the Denver Foundation, she just did it because she loved Bob and because she loved me and she loved Colin and she wanted to do that for us. So just the dearest person, just a really, really good friend of mine for the last 33 years or so.
Excellent. All right. Mr. Howell.
Mr. Howell. Oh, kind of irreverent. Would that be a good word for Mr. Howell? Jim was just... Jim was one of Bob used to laugh. He said that when they were filming Gilligan's Island, and I, you know, you'll remember scenes where there would be a scene maybe with Gilligan and Mr. and Mrs. Howell, and then Mr. Howell and Mrs. Howell would go walking off into the jungle when they exited the scene. Bob always called them mumble off. He said that Jim would mumble off the bluest stuff you've ever heard when he was making his exit. He would always do that. He would mumble it so that nobody except, you know, the people close by could understand him and hear what he was saying. But quite the jokester. They said he would come, you know, I wasn't around for the original series. I was around for all the movies. But he would come on the set first thing in the morning, and it was just joke after joke after joke all day long. So he was just Mr. Magoo. Just
that's right.
Guy.
The voice of Mr. Magoo. Absolutely. Jim Backus.
Uh-huh.
And, all right, Natalie Schaefer, Mrs. Howell.
Exactly. Now, see, I can't do this in one word. I'm trying, but it's not coming out that way.
That's all right. We'll
exactly,
give you a few.
Okay, exactly what she seemed to be on the show. Exactly. Lorgnettes and everything. I mean,
is that right?
Just, oh, yeah. She used the lorgnettes in her daily life. And she was exactly what she seemed to be on the show. There was no difference between Lovey and Natalie. They were one and the same. And she was also, they were all really lovely people, every single one of them.
Tina Louise, who played Ginger, did not come back for the TV movies. And I know there was some back and forth in the press back in the day between your husband and Tina Louise. Your thoughts on Tina and your personal interactions with her?
Okay, well, I will tell you that nobody in the cast really cared for Tina because she was very difficult to work with. I personally have had no problems with her whatsoever. I've not had to be around her a lot, but the three or four times that I have been around her. She and I have done just fine. But she was very, very difficult to work with. I mean, she was, held up production, and, you know, everybody would be ready to go and, you know, hitting their marks and all of that. And Tina would still be in makeup, and she was just very, very, very difficult to work with. So they didn't enjoy her as much. But I personally, you know, never had any problems with her. I think Bob, he didn't dislike Tina. None of them really disliked her. They just found her, you know, a problematic when it came to the work situation, because she was a little bit of a prima donna. And I shouldn't be saying those things about her, but that's the truth. That is the truthful answer. So, you know, they kind of put up with her. I will say this, though, in the movies, when she didn't do the movies, and she got more press for not doing the movies than the castaways who actually did the movies got. I mean, she got so much press for not doing it. They laughed about that at the time. But, you know, you have to admit, the other two actresses were wonderful. One in particular I loved to death, Connie Forslund, was just a wonderful actress. She was the second Ginger in the last movie. But nobody could play Ginger the way Tina could. Regardless of how much trouble she might have been on the set, she was just, she was Ginger. You know, nobody else could do it the way she did it.
And Russell Johnson, the professor.
Oh, gosh. Would you guys believe that Russell is 85 years old now?
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable? That's so unbelievable to me. Nicest man, a gentleman in every sense of the word. Nicest man I have ever met. Truly, you know, the whole cast was really nice to me the first time I came on to the set. It was my first Hollywood set that I'd ever been on, and they could not have been kinder. But Russell was especially kind. He kind of took me under his wing, and because Bob was in every scene. So, you know, Bob couldn't hang out with me that much on the set, and Russell sort of made it his, he kind of took me on and made me his mission was to make me comfortable and make sure I had a great time there. So just the nicest man in the world. I'd love him to death.
Great behind-the-scenes stuff about Gilligan's Island. And as we get ready to wrap up here, give us just a little bit of information about the Denver Foundation. If our listeners would like to find out more, would like to make a contribution to the Denver Foundation, tell us what you do and how folks can help.
Well, the Denver Foundation, like I said before, was created in honor of our son, our severely autistic son. And, you can donate online at bobdenver.com. And for that donation, a $25 donation or more, I will send you a copy of Gilligan, Maynard, and Me. You can't get Gilligan, Maynard, and Me anywhere except from me and except at bobdenver.com. The foundation is, you know, that was overwhelming to me when I was left in charge of that, because I was always in charge of Little Buddy Radio, which is owned and operated by the foundation. All profits from the radio station go to the foundation. And I should say that, you know, if you're local in West Virginia, Southern West Virginia, you can hear it 93.1 FM, but you can also hear it online at bobdenver.com. Great radio station, if I do say so myself, and that I always did, and that I was very comfortable with. When I had to take over the foundation, it was terrifying to me because I didn't have a clue how to raise money, and you know this because you were in that with me. I just, you know, it was just overwhelming to me to take it over. But little by little, I have, and we're now starting to do. We're helping families here in West Virginia, and to the point that it brings me to tears. You know, we've helped some families. I've gone to meet the families and meet the child in question that we're helping, and it is a real humbling experience to see these families who do, you know, what Bob and I did all those years, taking care of their children or the person in their family who has special needs that they love. It's a very humbling experience to be able to help these people. And so, you know, anyone who would want to make a donation can certainly do it online, and $25 or more, and I will send them a book.
Outstanding. That's bobdenver.com to find out more about the Denver Foundation. Dream of Denver has given us some phenomenal tips today. The three things that she said that you absolutely have to have before doing media interviews, especially important, I think, that media coaching, knowing specifically what you want to say, having that clarity of message, and being entertaining when you do an interview. That entertainment factor, that is the hook that will draw people towards you to view your guest match profile, to view your website, to invite you to come and speak at their event. So being entertaining, I can't tell you just how important that is. Adrima also touched on the different revenue streams that can be generated, ways you can monetize your free media exposure. Things like paid speaking engagements, speeches where you sell products in the back of the room, secondary products, whether it be T-shirts or mugs or DVDs or audio programs. And, of course, a book. If you haven't written a book yet, not only can it generate revenue, it can also be a phenomenal credentialing tool for you to help spread your message. If you'd like more information on any of these topics, by all means, reach out to us at guestmatch.com. And while you're there, for just a dollar, you can become a guest match member, just like Dream of Denver has done. Click on Become a Guest at guestmatch.com. I also want to remind you that if you're interested in that media coaching and training, we do offer that. Our next upcoming event is in October, October 22nd, 23rd, 24th here in Washington. It's Media Mastery Weekend. And if you visit the website, publicityseminar.com today, you can sign up for a free 15-minute radio interview and podcast that we'll conduct with you. And it'll be live on the air. We'll give you some coaching tips afterwards, which, as Dream of Denver had mentioned, is so very important. And if you'd like to come for our in-studio training, where you're actually in front of the camera and behind the microphone with national TV and radio personalities, if you'd like to have a professional photo shoot done and really learn the X's and O's of how to get that free media exposure and then how to really excel when you do it, we'll offer you a $500 tuition discount just for signing up. That's for any listener of this teleclass. And to take advantage of that $500 tuition discount, just type in the word publicity and the promo code on the sign-up page at publicityseminar.com. So we've given you some great discounts, some stuff that's almost free, like the $1 guest match membership, and the opportunity to win a free copy of Gilligan, Maynard, and Me, the autobiography of one of TV's most legendary personalities, Bob Denver. Dream of Denver will sign up for you. Just send an email to support at guestmatch.com and put Gilligan Giveaway, that's Gilligan Giveaway, in the subject line. Dream of Denver, it is always a delight to talk with you, and I really, really appreciate you sharing this great firsthand information with our listeners today and the behind-the-scenes stuff on Gilligan, too. How cool is that?
I tell you what, can I just say, Burke, that you guys, I want everybody to know this. You guys are the best at what you do. My husband, obviously, he was, you know, gone by the time I met you, but he would have loved you. He would have had such respect for how hard you work and what you do. And anybody who would think about signing up with you, signing up for any of the things you mentioned, would not be making a mistake because you are the best at what you do. I wish Bob could have known you. I really, really do. I wish he could have worked with you. He would have loved it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate him being around to hang out with me when I watch TV as a kid, the Magic Babysitter. Aaron, before
That's
we wrap
right.
up the call, are there any final questions or comments that you have?
We do have one question from a Dad Shepherd. What are the two or three points that you have to make when pitching a producer? That is to say, if you have 30 seconds to pitch a producer, what exactly do you say?
You know, that's a great question. And actually, Aaron, for those of you who are listening and may not be familiar with our Director of Client Services, he's actually a producer for the big CBS radio FM talk station here in the Washington, D.C. market. So as a producer, if you're being pitched on the telephone or in an email, what do you want to know?
I need something that the initial headline needs to be very catchy and grabbing. Something that's going to show me, basically sum you up in about two or three sentences is what I need. You get tons of pitches all the time, and a lot of them are useless for you, so you need to really be able to go through and comb and find what you're looking for. Another point is if you have any previous experience on the air with any other radio shows or television shows, always let them know that as well somehow in your pitch. Because for me as a producer, if I know that you've been on other stations, then I know that you've been doing something well at least. If you're, you know, just getting into it, that's fine. You don't need to have it. It's always just a bonus to have it. It kind of qualifies you a little bit.
Outstanding. If you have any further questions that we didn't have time to get through, Our office number is always available to you here in Washington, D.C. at 703-589-8960, 703-589-8960, and you can always reach us as well through guestmatch.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Thanks again to our special guest, Dreema Denver from bobdenver.com, and for my co-host, Aaron Leister, our Director of Client Services. I'm Burke Allen with Guest Match and Allen Media Strategies. Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.